There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, all the latest gaming coverage, developer interview, the latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Here we go.
E3 2016 coverage starts now.
All right, it's Pete Rock here with Gamertag Radio. I got Godfrey and the man himself from the Coalition,
hey.
Rod Ferguson.
How's it going?
So, everybody's been looking forward to what Gears of War 4 has in store. Tell me a little bit more about Gears of War.
We have a lot in store. And if you saw the demo today, you know, it's a pretty exciting two-player co-op campaign where you basically play through the one night in the wilds of Sarah with JD and either Kate and Del, and you're just basically trying to find Kate's mom for a lot of the story. But we have, you know, co-op campaign, we have co-op multiplayer, we have Horde is back, so Horde 3.0, which is going to be amazing. It's a return to the feel of the Gears 2 Horde, which was like emergent gameplay where that idea of building your fortifications wherever you want and defending how you want.
Right.
You know, Gears 3 was a little tower defense-y, but now in Gears 4, it's back to a sandbox. So, yeah, there's just a full package.
So tell me, what is it like going from your former home over at Epic and coming over to the Coalition? How has that made making Gears of War better?
You know what it is? It's sort of new energy. Like, it's one of those things. You know, we had been making Gears for 7 years at Epic, and a lot of people were kind of like, okay, you know, we've kind of done that. What else can we do? And they started looking for new things, and people's eyes started to wander a little bit. I still wanted to keep making Gears, and honestly, that's kind of once I realized that Gears was going on the shelf, that's why I left. And so to come into the Coalition and having a team that's so excited and so passionate about being able to make a Gears game, it was literally, I was like flashing back to 2006 and making Gears 1. It feels like that. It feels like Gears 1 all over again. So part of that is this new energy, and then we have a senior team from all over the industry who've made things like Crysis and Assassin's Creed and Space Marine and like a whole bunch of like, and just all kinds of new ideas and new energy going into it. That just makes it exciting.
Okay. Talk to me more about the co-op campaign. I know you said two-player co-op campaign. Is there a reason why four-player co-op is not a possibility?
Well, it came down to a decision around like what we wanted to go back to with the campaign. You know, like we wanted to go back to that feeling that people had with Gears 1. And that, you know, you look at Gears 1, it's an enemy incursion. It's behind enemy lines, and it's small, just one squad. And then with Gears 2, we went kind of took it to a war, and then Gears 3, we took it to, like, fighting for the planet.
Right.
And if we were to go even bigger, then we're going to have to go, like, into the galaxy and stuff, which we didn't want to do. So we really wanted to focus on, like, telling the story of bringing it back to the characters, you know, and getting, and so we want to go personal and intimate again, and going back to that feeling of tension that Gears 1 had. And so, you know, I love four-player co-op games, trust me, that's why we did it for Gears, but you don't get this. People are talking over the cinematics, and you're trying to do stuff, and people are running off ahead because they're just going really fast. You don't get time to stop to pick up ammo. And we just wanted to get back and say, look, we're introducing new characters. We're introducing a new, you know, setting. We're introducing a new monster. And so we wanted it to be that kind of back to that very tense, dark feeling that Gears 1 had, and that's why we did it.
I know you guys released a beta, a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, in April.
How has it been, like, the feedback from the community? Because a lot of people were playing that nonstop, man, nonstop.
Yeah, we had, like, over a million players, and it was great. It was really good. Like, it's one of those things about beta now that when you can do so much by listening to the players, but also you have your build is instrumented so much you actually learn just by them playing without even talking to you. Like, you find out what's going on. You can do heat maps on them and see where they've been, where they're dying, what weapons they're using, all that kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we got feedback, a lot of feedback around the visuals, and that was really about just where we were. We did a beta really early. You know, it was an alpha. Honestly, we weren't even alpha yet with the project.
Okay.
And so we got a lot of feedback like, hey, the visuals aren't what we're expecting for multiplayer. And it's like, yeah, we had to do, our beta wasn't a demo, like a marketing demo. Our beta wasn't actually, we're testing stuff. We had new code. about how to do multiplayer, how to do like the matchmaking, all that stuff is all brand new code that we hadn't been tested on more than 1,000 people at a time. So we're like, we got to get it out there. And it's like, well, the game doesn't look that great yet. And we're like, it doesn't matter. We have to test this code so we can fix stuff before we launch. And so we did, and so we got the feedback, and like if you saw my tweet recently, I showed like what 4 weeks difference makes, and it's a, you know, it's a pretty fundamental difference, and it's just going to keep getting better.
You know, this game reminds me a lot of the first game. It's a lot darker.
Yeah.
A lot darker. Now, what was it, was there any other inspirations to take it to, back to the good old Gears 1 with it, with this game?
Well, it's just, you know, we, like I said, it was like, we didn't like that when you went to 1, 2, and 3. By the time you got to 3, the locusts were known. It felt like a World War II game. It was just like, I know how to beat these enemies, so I'll just, it's fun, but it's familiar. And so that's why we want to go back to the, we wanted to go back to the strange and go back through, like, you know, the idea of discovery and mystery. And so what is this thing? And that's one of the things that people are playing now is this 20-minute demo, which is a little bit of the discovery of like, oh, I'm coming upon these monsters for the first time, and I'm getting to learn what they are and be afraid of them again. And that's, that was something I really wanted to get back to.
That's one of the things that I really loved about the presentation today on Gears. Just the new weapons, like, it was just like a totally new experience. And it felt like the first time seeing the chainsaw Gears 1, you know? It feels the same type of vibe, you know?
Well, it was a challenge for us because, you know, this game is coming after 25 years of peace. Yeah. And so we didn't have, like, in previous games, we go like, oh, there's a war going on. They always make new weapons part of the war effort, so we could always have any new weapon we wanted.
Yeah.
But now we had 25 years of peace, and so who's making new weapons? And so that's why we turned to, like, the idea of what are they doing? Well, they're rebuilding. They're and so they'll need tools to do that. So that's why when you look at our drop shot, it's our sarin mining tool that shoots off this sort of drill bit with an explosive on it that goes into the ground. Mm-hmm. And it was actually meant to replace the digger. The digger was our weapon that went undercover, but it was a creature. So when the locust died, we lost the digger weapon. So that's why the drop shot is used to go overcover now. And then the buzzkill is this firing circular saw blades bouncing around the environment. You know, again, just taking that tool idea and taking it to 11.
So where did the inspiration for the new weapon, like the blade tool, where did that come from?
Well, it comes back from a bunch of different things. There's a similar weapon back in the original Unreal Tournament, like where you used to use, like, it bounced blades around, but you could, like, alternate fire and it would stick and become a proximity mine and all that stuff. So we'd always wanted to do something like that. And we were just trying to find our take on it, because we really like that idea of using an environment in a dynamic way to be able to do ricochets. Because one of the things you have is, once you have a cover gameplay, you want to do things that reinforce cover, like put you in cover, but then you have to find ways to sort of invalidate to kind of get people out. And that's what the drop shot and the buzz kill are meant to do. The drop shot goes over and the buzz kill can go around because you can bounce around off different things. And so it makes for a more interesting gameplay when you have these moments where maybe cover is not going to quite work the way you want it to.
Well, with the proliferation of esports now, and everybody, you know, every developer is trying to throw that into their game, are you guys trying to add a component of esports into the Gears multiplayer?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we started, like, you go back to, like, Gears 1 in 2006, we were part of MLG. Like, we have a long history with esports.
Right.
And I think that's really what our success has been with bringing it back with Ultimate Edition. You know, through Gears 2 and Gears 3, our philosophy at Epic was really about trying to be more accessible and be focused on the new player, less about the professional player. So we didn't really do anything specific for them. We didn't make any features for them. We didn't really do too much for them. But now, as we get into Ultimate Edition, we really wanted to reach out and start learning. Like, it was a remaster, so we didn't have a lot of new features we could bring to it. But it was really about learning, like, what are the kinds of things people are looking for, and just to reestablish ourselves back on the esports scene. I called it our crawl phase. You know, we're going to do a crawl, walk, and run. And so that was our Ultimate Edition's crawl, and Gears 4 is going to be walk. You know, and it's really about looking at, like, the way we think about our players now is, it's really, we've got three layers. We have this sort of what I call the recreational social player, we have the competitive player, and then we have the professional player, the esports. And so we're trying to find ways to meet the needs of all three layers of that, no matter where you are. And so things like dodgeball is meant to be a social way to play. Right. But things like escalation, which we debuted at our season 2 finale, that's very much an esports mode. It's very designed to allow for that idea of having a halftime and bringing a lot more strategy. It's not just about reflexes on which map, it's about weapon placement and which rings you take and how you do it, you know. And so it creates a story that a broadcaster can talk about, and then creating probably one of the better casting controls. Like, you're able to plug in a keyboard now and you can control your cameras in Gears 4 to make it really clean swaps between viewpoints. You can look at a guy and go see, and swap to his view immediately. So there's a lot of really cool casting tools. And what's great about esports and multiplayer in general, it's got a long tail. So just because it's not in the box doesn't mean we're not going to get to it. So we have a lot of plans to grow our esports and our competitive features beyond release.
Sounds good to me. So
I have one more question. Xbox Anywhere.
Yeah.
Now gamers could play from PC, Xbox.
Yep.
I like that, because now the community is going to grow more. There's going to be more more players now online,
yeah,
and
for
everything.
Sure.
So when they came up with that concept for you guys to add that for Gears,
right?
Was that difficult to develop, or was like an easy process, or how was that for you?
No, it wasn't. I mean, it's always building for a second platform is always going to add work, right? It's always going to be something. Yeah, but one of the nice things is that we just come off of the Ultimate Edition Windows 10, and so we already had a team that was very focused on Win 10, so it was easy just to move that team over into Gears 4 Win 10. Yeah. And so to be able to do, like, I love Xbox Play Anywhere. The fact that you can, you know, your game progress and your achievements are shared over Xbox Live, so that you can, oh, I play it on my TV and then I can go play in my office and pick it right back up, is just amazing. And then on top of that, on top of Xbox Play Anywhere, we're doing cross-play. So co-op campaign, co-op multiplayer, co-op horde, all can be done with a mixture of Win 10 and Xbox One. In fact, if you go to our theater tomorrow, we're showing Win 10 4K on a 90-inch screen playing with an Xbox One S doing HDR on a 65-inch TV. And so they're doing campaign co-op, so it's great.
That's awesome, right?
Let's just go ahead and wrap this up. When can our listeners expect Gears of War 4?
Yeah, so there's Gears of War 4 release date is October 11th.
Okay.
Now, if you at retail or digitally, if you buy the Ultimate Edition, you get early access. You can get it October 7th, and you can play. You get a weekend head start on everybody. You get to play it, and so yeah, you should check it out. And one of the things we talk a lot about our season pass, and some people looked at it and going like, I don't understand this whole, like, I get 24 maps where I get to own it, like, you know, because we have this sort of map cycle. We think about it like Netflix, right? Like, you can play all of our maps are free. And that we put out there available for public play. But then once we get to probably about 12, we're going to start, as you add a couple, we'll take out a couple. So there'll always be 12. Because we didn't want, hey, I haven't played in a year, and I come in, now I got to learn 35 maps. Nobody wants that, right? So we sort of curate the maps. But with our season pass, any map that rolls off, you own. It's just yours, right? So you own not only so you get 24 maps plus the 10 maps that are in the box. That's 34 maps that you'll own. And people are like, I don't understand the value of that for me or multiplayer. But now that you understand you can play Horde on all of those multiplayer maps and own them privately, and you can play it at any time you want, I mean, it has a huge value for the Horde player, for sure.
What's your favorite map?
Oh, my favorite map. That's definitely
a hard-hitting question.
Well, my favorite legacy map is Checkout. So I'm pushing the team for Checkout as part of the first wave, you know, pretty early in the DLC phase. But there's a couple, like the two or three we showed in the beta are fun, but I think there's one we're calling. Yeah, it's called Core, and it's something we're going to probably be one of the next maps. If we do any more multiplayer stuff between now and launch, I think Core is probably going to be the map that's going to go there, and that's a really fun map, too.
Sounds good to me. Well, Rod, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Danny.
All right.
Pete.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.